Hey, thanks for joining us on the No Limits Church podcast. This is a place to get equipped to make a difference for the kingdom of God. So get ready to be empowered by this message.
I got a powerful message for you today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to infuse you with boldness. I'm not going to connect the IV of boldness into you and send you out as dangerous people, all right? That's my goal today. Dangerous people in a good way, right? Dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. All right. So I came across this guy on Instagram who has made it his prerogative to criticize every minister that he doesn't agree with. Have you ever seen those types of people on YouTube and things like that? And that's the only type of video that this guy posts. I'm like, man, what a miserable existence to just be criticizing people all day long, every day. Anyway, of course, he feels he's doing everybody a favor by exposing the false teachers. I'm sure his motives are genuine, I really do, but his zeal is a little bit misguided. Has anybody ever had misguided zeal? Yeah, been there, done that. But criticism is not a spiritual gift. I've said it before, going to say it again just to make sure we get it. It's just not a spiritual gift. We are, though, to guard ourselves against false ministers, especially in these last days. So the question is, how do we know the right way to do this? How do we spot the false ministers and the false prophets and things like that? Anybody know? The Word, yeah. And there's actually a specific place in the Word where Jesus teaches us about this very thing in just five verses. You want to hear it? He tells you how to do this. This is found in Matthew chapter 7. And let's see, verse 15, Jesus said this, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them." Man, I'm just glad he just like spells it out for us, right? "You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" I can answer that question for you. You will not find a fig with a thistle. And I know this for a fact because Beth and I moved out onto the farm 2 years ago now, our first year having to like manage a pasture. I didn't know what a thistle was. And so it's middle of summer, our neighbor gives us a call and he says, "Hey, so you gonna take care of those so they don't blow into my pasture?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he said, those purple things that are out in your pasture. I was like, those beautiful purple flowers? Like I would walk my pasture and I would admire these beautiful purple flowers that had gotten this tall. They were as tall as, I'm like, look at those things. He's like, "No, those are thistles and they'll take over your pasture. So you need to get out." I mean, he was kind of stern with me. He's like, "You need to get out there and cut off all those purple flowers before they turn to seeds." So I go out there thinking it's just going to be one or two thistles out in the yard, right? And there's this, it's probably a quarter acre patch of thistle, like dense, as tall as me. And I'm like, cool. So I get this one. I was out there for like 2 hours cutting off these flowers before I mowed down the thistle patch. And I was like, sweet, I'm done. And then I walk a little bit further and look out and there's another quarter acre patch of thistles just a little further down. I was like, oh my lands. Anyway, I'll tell you this. I never found any figs. That whole story was just to let you know, you do not find figs and thistles. So a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can also identify people by their actions. All right, Jesus just told us how to do it. He says, you'll know them by their fruit. In other words, we can examine their actions and determine, is this a godly minister or is this a deceiving minister? What kind of fruit are we looking for? The fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. By the way, this is how you can test me to know if I'm the real deal or not. You should all be going to ask Beth, does Cade have the fruit of the Spirit at home or is it just at church? And she is not capable of lying, so she will tell you the truth. What kind of fruit does a false minister produce? The fruit of the flesh, right? The works of the flesh. That's also listed in Galatians chapter 5 along with the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what it is. Sexual immorality, verse 1. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. Ever known a minister to have selfish ambition? Dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So it's pretty easy to spot a false minister. Pretty easy to do it. It's not necessarily somebody that you disagree with, right? Rather, it's somebody who promotes sin or at the very least tolerates it. So there's quite a few false ministers these days, aren't there? Whoopsie. Jesus was right when he said there would be a lot of them in the last days. They are here. But this guy on Instagram, he's calling out some of that stuff, and it's accurate, but he's also calling out things that don't align with his theology or don't align with his denomination and just kind of get them all stirred up. And in the most recent video, he played this video of somebody who was praying or who offered to pray for those who had a lactose intolerance. And here's how she prayed. She said, "I rebuke the intolerance. Your body will digest dairy without a problem in the name of Jesus." And in his rebuttal, he said, "Well, I thought you were going to pray. Where was the prayer exactly in that statement?" So he was upset about that. And then he also said, "And what happens to those who watch this video and they go eat a big bowl of mac and cheese and then end up miserable the rest of the night? What about those people? I mean, come on, man, just go ahead and make your doubt visible for all to see." Like, here it is, putting his doubt on a billboard, and he feels so justified in his doubt. He is fully convinced that his doubt is helping people. Ever been there? Whoopsie. At some point along this journey, y'all, of healing, learning how to minister to the sick, we have to get rid of the fear of people not getting healed. Are you hearing me? At some point, we got to get rid of that fear. I think today's a good day for that. I mean, do you really think that we're going to get anywhere in seeing people healed if we carry that fear around with us? Have you noticed how we tend to exalt fear as some kind of protective mechanism? Keeping fear around, like we think that it's going to protect us somehow, but it's not the fear itself that protects you, it's your response to fear that can protect you. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So what he's saying is when fear comes knocking, it's going to come. When fear comes knocking, it should activate power within us, should be the response. We're talking about that kind of power, dunamis power, for working miracles, for walking in morality, for generating wealth and authority, walking in authority. That's the kind of power we're talking about. But we've been conditioned to tolerate fear. We think that fear itself is the protective mechanism. So we run or we hide or we waste all this time and energy trying to protect ourselves from something that could have just been obliterated by the power of God. When we tolerate the fear of someone not getting healed, we pray pitiful prayers, don't we? Like this, "God, if it be your will, God, if it be your timing, we petition you to please heal, but if you don't, we understand." Right? What if we use that same fear to activate miracle-working power instead? When that thought arises, what if they don't get healed? We should use that as an indicator. God wants to heal right now. Why else would the enemy send the spirit of fear in this moment to try to keep me from walking in this power? Hey. So instead of playing it safe, why don't you just tap into the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead that the word says lives in us? I mean, it's already in us. We just have to draw it out. And that fear that shows up is a great reminder. Hey, it's time to let the power flow right now. When you tolerate fear, you stop the flow of faith. Faith is trying to get up out of your spirit, but fear comes in like a lid on a jar. And when you tolerate it, you're just tightening down the lid and keeping faith all safe on the inside. We've all done this time and time again, but you know what I love about this message that the Holy Spirit's given us today? You'll never do it again. You'll never do it again. The next time the enemy throws fear at you, he's going to wish he didn't because now you're going to turn it on him. Fear will no longer be tolerated in your life. Now it will simply become a reminder, it's time to let the miracle working power flow through me. When fear comes your way, just rejoice. Ha, I've been reminded of what's on the inside of me. The enemy just spilled the beans. He just told me that I'm right over the target. So just go ahead and tap into the miracle working power and let the Holy Spirit do his thing through you. Amen. You know, the other thing that bothered this guy on Instagram was that this lady didn't necessarily pray the way that we think a prayer should sound, right? Rather, she commanded the sickness to leave, is what she did. And this, my friends, is a solid teaching moment. I'm so excited about this. We are disciples of Christ, correct? Disciples of Christ. That means we watch what he did and we do exactly the same thing, right? We don't try to make up our own way anymore, right? We simply follow him exactly. Why do you think culture is so worked up about getting you to do things your way? Huh? Do things your way. Because if you get in that place of pride, which is what that is, by the way, in case you didn't know, it will absolutely hinder what you can accomplish for the Lord. Because he's going to tell you to do something, you're going to say, I got my way. And in regard to healing, how did Jesus do it? So let's examine ourselves. How did he do it? Did he pray and ask God to heal? Did he ask if it was God's will? Did he verify that this was the right timing for healing to take place? Did he even pray at all for healing? We're all scanning the scriptures right now, right? We're like, if we want the same results as Jesus, we have to do it the way he did it. He demonstrated the way, and we must follow it exactly. If we deviate in any way, we will not see the same results as he did. And now we're like, aha, that's what's going on here. This is more comfortable over here, so I think I'm just going to pray for them, or let's put them on the prayer chain instead. And Jesus is like, I didn't tell you to do any of that. Here's how the Holy Spirit explained this to me. He said this. He said, you don't pray to ask God to heal. Don't you love it when the Holy Spirit gives you a good correction like that? You don't pray to ask God to heal. You command the sickness to leave. You use authority to get rid of sickness, not a desperate plea to God. And immediately after the Holy Spirit explained this to me, he sent me to Matthew chapter 8, which, by the way, for those of you looking to hear the voice of God, you are already hearing it. You already hear his voice. But the way you gain confidence is that him is by allowing him to prove what he's saying with the word of God. Because the Holy Spirit can prove anything that he says with the word of God, anything that he says. And he knows the chapters and the verses. He knows, like, he's never like misquoting the reference. He knows exactly where it is. And if you allow him, he will tell you exactly where to go. People have a hard time with this, but if you just tune in and say, Lord, show me where it is, he'll send you right there. And it's amazing. But you can do it the hard way too. It's not even that hard these days because we have Google, right? So you can find it one way or the other, but either way gets the job done. But I urge you to use the word of God to verify what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, because as you do that, that's when the confidence comes. Oh, that's his voice. I hear his voice and I know his voice. So the Holy Spirit sent me to Matthew 8, verse 6, to confirm what he spoke to me about using authority to get rid of sickness. And it turns out the whole chapter is a confirmation. So I'm going to read the whole chapter for you. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Pause. Woo, so much in that right there. Did you notice that Jesus didn't take a moment to check in with the Father to make sure this was his will? Nope. He took full authority. You know, he didn't even mention God. He said, yep, I am willing. Whoa. And then what did he do? He commanded the man, be healed. He didn't pray. He didn't ask questions about the sickness. Now tell me, how long have you been dealing with this? Have you been to the doctors yet? What have you been eating lately? Is this a result of the Cheetos that you ate yesterday? No. What he did was he relieved the man's doubt by saying, I am willing. And then he commanded him to be healed. It was like a 1-2 punch, right? The first swing, he said three words to eliminate doubt. Chapow. And then he went in for the knockout with two simple words, be healed, chapow. And it was done. That was it. If we want the same results as Jesus, we have to do it like him. He demonstrated the way, and we must follow it exactly. If we deviate in any way, we're going to hinder the results. All right, let's head to verse 5. Now we're going to get into where the Holy Spirit led me to learn about using authority to get rid of sickness. So at verse 5, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Once again, Jesus didn't take time to consult with the Father. He already knew that it was always God's will to heal. Jesus already knew that. And he was so confident in it that he just offered to heal the man himself. Hey, I'm going to come and heal that man. Let it settle in. This is good stuff right here. Verse 8, but the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. Ah, this man is amazing right here. This man recognized, you know what? Healing is the result of authority. He knew it. Healing is the result of authority being exercised. He knew without a doubt that if Jesus said that the sickness had to go, then the sickness had to go. Period. End of story. That's so good. We need to be more like this guy. All right, verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. I'm amazed too. Wow. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. How many of y'all are looking forward to that? Sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come on, tell me. Oh, that's going to be so awesome. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. I love that. Most Christians would handle this situation completely contrary to what Jesus just did. They would say, oh, like somebody comes and tells us, my servants, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. We'll add him to the prayer chain. Hopefully he gets better. And if we actually got to the point where somebody's asking us, can you heal him from a distance? Can you do that? We would say, oh, I'm not sure I can do that. Doesn't that sound a little like magic or something? Maybe you should just tell them to go through the doctor. We got lots of great doctors these days. If we want the same results as Jesus, we must do it like he did it. He demonstrated the way. We got to follow it exactly. Stop deviating. Just do what he did. Because if we deviate in any way, we'll hinder the results. You know, Jesus owned the power that was given to him. Are you catching on? He owned it as his own. He didn't take time to explain that it came from God. Oh, when I was baptized, that's when the power came, and now I'm going to use it. No, he just owned the power that God gave him, and he walked in it. We like to say things like, well, we have God's power. We don't know when it's going to show up, but when it does, we sure are thankful. We're not doing it like Jesus. Jesus owned the power. He exercised the power. He owned the authority. He exercised the authority. He didn't act like God didn't want it sometimes. God wanted it sometimes and didn't want it other times. He's just like, God gave me the power. I'm going to use it. Jesus owned the power that was given to him. He said, I will come and heal him. He knew what the Father wanted, so he did what the Father wanted without apology and without delay. As you can see, you don't pray to ask God to heal. You command the sickness to leave. Get on out of here. You use authority to get rid of sickness, not a desperate plea to God. Oh, let's continue to find out if this was like, was this some kind of fluke here, this whole authority thing in the ministry of Jesus, or did he continue in this power and authority? How about we keep reading to find out? Where are we at? Verse 14. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. Jesus lived quite the life, man. This is awesome. How many healings are we supposed to be doing per day? You know, Jesus just like healing a fever, casting out demons. Like, this is everyday activity. Come on, Jesus. I want to do that. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple what? Command. And he healed all the sick. Who did it? He did it. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. Another of his disciples said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. Lord, first let me pray and make sure this is God's will. But Jesus told him, follow me now. That's a word for all of us today. Quit doing those other things. Just follow me right now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. All right, Jesus. Then Jesus got into the boat and started to cross the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake. The waves began breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." And then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. I think you'll find it interesting what this word rebuked really means. We use that a lot in Christianese. That's a Christianese type of word. I'm going to rebuke that. And then you're like, what does rebuke mean? It means to rebuke. But take a look. According to the Strong's Concordance, that word means to tax upon, censure, admonish, forbid, charge, rebuke. That first one is intriguing to me. And I got to thinking about it. It's like, what happens when the government raises taxes? You have to pay them. Why? Because the government is the ultimate authority on taxes. They get to decide when taxes are raised and when taxes are lowered. Lower the taxes, amen? At least we got rid of that grocery tax, praise the Lord. That's awesome. But you don't have a choice in the matter. So that's the weight of this word rebuke that it carries in the Bible. This is when somebody who's in ultimate authority, the one at the top, issues a command, and it has to be followed. It's good stuff. So once again, Jesus owned the power and authority that was given to him by God. Even the wind and the waves had to obey him. Even the naders have to obey you, right? Even the hail has to obey you. I'm not getting any dents on my truck. I'm going to rebuke the hail. And I was doing that. That little pea-sized hail was falling the other day, and I went out there and said, I rebuke that. Get on out of here. My kids were out there with me, and then it stopped. They're like, Dad, the hail stopped. I was like, of course it did. But guess what? Then it tried to come back. And I said, I told you, I rebuked that. Get on out of here. And it stopped again. And they were just like, wow. It was a great testimony to my children. They loved that. And then they went and ate the hail off the ground, right? It was wonderful. They thought it was great. All right, let's keep going. Verse 27, the disciples were amazed. Who is this man, they asked. Even the winds and waves obey him. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that nobody could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" Is it the right time to receive healing? Are we waiting on the timing? Oh man, the demons will try to get you hung up on this timing thing. See, this man was about to get freed, and the demons were like, "Are you sure this is God's appointed time for these men to be free?" Yes, why, yes, it is. Okay. I just love that. So, whenever the demons start griping about the timing, just know you're right on time. I'm right on time. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance, so the demons begged, "If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs." All right, go. Jesus commanded them. So much authority here. So the demons came out of the men and entered into the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town, telling everyone what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. Let's read a little bit of chapter 9. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen, and they praised God for giving humans such authority. How many times command authority did we just read in that like 1.5 chapters there? Absolutely incredible. Who did God give authority to? Humans. Are you a human? Why, yes. You sure are. Does that mean you should be walking in the same authority that Jesus did? Why, yes. Yes, you should. This is why we don't pray to ask God to heal. We command the sickness to leave. We use authority to get rid of sickness. It's time for us to own the power and authority given to us by Christ. We got to own it. He doesn't expect us to explain where it came from before we use it. No, he wants us to own it as our own. Why? Because he wants the sick healed. He wants those to know that their sins are forgiven. He wants the demon possessed set free. So go out and use that authority. Our response must become, I will go heal the sick. I will go cast out devils. I will go forgive sins and set the captives free. Oh, how things would change if we owned the authority that Christ gave. Can you imagine a church being like this? I told you, I'm here to make you dangerous today. If you're struggling with this, this could be a struggle to like grasp a hold of. I want you to know this, that anything that is keeping you from becoming one with Christ is a deceiving spirit. You are dangerous when you become one with Christ. Whenever you actually think like he thinks, you do what he does, watch out. Anything that's trying to keep you from that is a deceiving spirit. And if you're tired of that, just get rid of it. Say, I'm not listening to that. I'm looking at what the Word of God says. I'm watching what Jesus did, and I'm going to do what Jesus did. We are one with Christ. We are one with Christ. He is the head. We are the body. He is the head. We are the body. Have you ever thought about what that means? I'm going to help you with that. I got to pull up my note here. When I was trying to go to sleep last night, the Holy Spirit was giving me a download, so I wrote it down here. Because of modern science, we know that your hand cannot move unless your brain issues a command, right? He's the head, we're the body. But it's so instantaneous that it's really hard to distinguish the two. Like, did my brain really issue a command to do this? Because they're one. It's all one. Parts of your body have to wait on a command from your brain, like your hand moving. It's waiting on the command. Other parts, they're not waiting on a command because the command has already been given, like your heart beating. It beats because the command's already been given, and it just keeps beating. Our relationship with Christ is the same. Some things we are waiting on him to command. We're waiting for the command. Like when it was time for me to become a pastor, I was waiting for the command. When it's time to change a job, you're waiting for the command. What do you want me to do? But other things, the command has already been given, like healing the sick. The command has already been given, so we don't have to wait for permission. Just like your heart is beating all the time. We're to be healing the sick all the time. We're not waiting for timing. We're not waiting to find out if it's God's will. Just get out there and do it because the command has already been given. So we're one with Christ. He is the head. We are the body. We are seated with him in heavenly places. We are co-heirs to the kingdom of God. What Jesus does, we do. What Jesus says, we say. We are his representatives. We mimic everything that he did, right? And we do it just as he did it. And as we do, we will see the same results as Jesus. And did you know that this is how we bring glory to God? By walking in authority. Yeah.
Today, because just this week, I had this like.
I'm gonna bring this to you so the people online can hear.
I said, I'm so glad that you're talking about this today because I just had in prayer time this week. This, I could just see it in my spirit. You know that we are in Christ, and he is in us, and we have the authority to use his power. Yep. So kind of like the electric company, as Andrew Womack said, kind of like the electric company provides your power, we have the authority to go over and flip on the switch to access that power. Yep. So we have that same authority to do that. So anyway, this thing that I got in my spirit this week was that same God raising or Jesus raising power that's on the inside of us, that dunamis power that you just said, is on the inside of us, right? And our hands are like jumper cables. And that we can go lay hands on the sick and they be healed because of that power that's in us. So I envisioned, you know how a capsule, a medicine in a capsule has the medicine on the inside of it, on the inside of it, that it was just like coming in through the top of my head into my body, just like a pill. And that medicine is just shooting from the inside out. So it's not only healing my body, but working through to heal others' bodies.
That's awesome. So I want to help you guys like reimagine how this is supposed to work, because we have American ministry like in our brains, right? Here's how healing works. We have to have a church service. We have to have great worship first. We can't have any distractions. And it has to be just right. The Spirit's got to be moving. Then we have a healing line. And then people fall out and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's how we know people were healed. It's like, well, that is not how Jesus demonstrated it for us. The Bible says that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So here's how it really happened. Like, use your imagination for this. So Jesus is living life. And just like we read in the scriptures, so-and-so has a fever, be healed in the name of Jesus. And he sees this person over here, oh, they're sick, be healed in the name of Jesus. And that was it. He's like, enjoy your healing. And then over here, somebody's demon-possessed, right? Be free in the name of Jesus. And they walk off in freedom, and he's like, enjoy that. And then he's on to the next one, because the Bible says that there were so many miracles that Jesus performed that if we tried to write them down, all the books in the world couldn't contain them. All we have is like this small little fragment in our Bibles. So that's really what his life was like every day, healing the sick, casting out demons, telling people about the kingdom of God. And that's what our lives are supposed to look like. So you have to get this whole American ministry thing out of your brain. We're not trying to bring people to church so they can get in the healing line. I don't have anything against that. People get healed through the healing line, and I'm grateful for that. But how about we take the better path with better results and just do it like Jesus did it? That's what I'm saying. Amen. Glory to God. I can't wait to see y'all out there doing that. You're like, Cade, you're going to come tell me, Cade, at work this week, every day, there's like three people that I went, and they were healed because I went up and said, be healed in the name of Jesus. God is willing. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. A church that's not afraid of demons. You spot a demon, you're like, oh, buddy, here's my chance, right? We'll get rid of that sucker.
Man, that was good, wasn't it? Help us get God's word out to everyone who needs it by partnering with us financially. Your generous giving is what enables us to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Visit nolimits.fyi to give securely online. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a message. And thanks again for listening. Now let's go make a difference.